The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you.
Thank you for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Will, and you're listening to Wednesdays with Will. You know, this is a time where, you know, I take over the show and I just kind of express some of the things that's been on my heart. Just some things that I may have been studying or looking at. And today on the show, I want to talk a little bit about identity. Now, there's a lot that's being said in our culture about identity, but I just want to dive in just a little bit into the Word of God and to see what the Bible tells us about how we are to identify as believers, as ones who have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How are we supposed to identify? Before I get into that, I just want to remind you that you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just look for Culture Proof. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Just search Culture Proof. If you want to contact us, you can email us at mail@cultureproof.net. Or if you would like to know more about the conference is happening July 18th through the 20th in Bartlett, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis. It's the first Culture Proof conference. Great speaker is going to be there. My brother Abraham Hamilton III, my wife Miki Addison, Dr. Renton Rathbun, also Dr. Taryn Dames, Dr. Kathy Cook, Dr. Lee Brand. It's going to be an awesome time. We have Israel Wayne, Dr. Jason Lyle. There'll be breakout sessions there as well. We have a special emphasis this year, too, on young adults and college age young adults as well. Of course, we have our Culture Proof Kids and our Culture Proof Teens, Culture Proof Kids under the direction of Maria Hamilton, and then our Culture Proof Teens under the direction of Mark and Amy Warren. And so it's going to be a good time, great time of ministry. Really come expecting the Lord to speak to you. That's July 18th through the 20th, Bartlett, Tennessee, at Faith Baptist Church. You can get all of the information at cultureproof.net, cultureproof.net. Anything that you need to know about us, you can find at cultureproof.net. If you want to know where we will be speaking in the upcoming months, check out cultureproof.net. If you want to know how to subscribe to our newsletter, you can check that out there. If you want to buy some merch from our store, that's all on cultureproof.net. But so, what I want to talk about today on Wednesdays with Will, again, is identity. Now, man, there's a lot of things that are happening in our culture today. You know, there's a lot of things that we could, so say, identify with. But as Christians, our chief identity should be in being in Christ, you know, being a part of the family of God. That's the highest identity that we can have. Today on Facebook, I wrote a post and I'll read it here. And this will kind of jumpstart us into our conversation. I said, for the redeemed, the gay Christian debate is not a debate. It is settled that a person cannot be a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and identify with what God calls sin and an abomination. Now, it's not just relegated to homosexuality, same-sex attraction, and all that stuff. Any sin that we would identify with and say, this is who I am, even though I am in Christ now, I am an adulterer. I am, you know, a Christian adulterer, a Christian pedophile. That's impossible. That's impossible because of what Jesus Christ did. I don't know if we really understand the measures that were taken to secure our salvation and what that really means for us as believers, but we're going to talk about that today. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. I said, it's clear that the old self, which would be identified as a liar in this text or in this context, is to be laid aside with its evil practices. Nothing says that a person can keep their identity as a liar as long as they do not lie. We cannot take that and say, well, I'm a Christian liar. And when we say that, and when I just said that, you cringe, you're like, what? No one would say that. Well, in the same way, how could we say that I am a gay Christian or any other sin, you know, type of Christian? It's not possible. Believers, in this confusing time that we live in, it's the word of God that will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Cling to the word, and the plausible arguments of the day will not delude you. Colossians 2:4. I said, God bless. The thing about it is, a lot of times we can be tricked and deceived because we do not hold fast to the word of God. We do not hold fast to the word of God. Now, the Bible says, and I read that scripture in the post, I cited it, in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Many of the reasons why we stumble around certain issues in culture is because we're not clinging to the word of God, which is a light to our feet, a lamp into our feet, and a light into our path. If we don't have the light of the word of God helping us to discern and to see what's really before us, there will be a lot of stumbling. There will be a lot of mishaps. There will be a lot of giving in to arguments that sound good, but they do not stand up against the word of God. If we are not entrenching ourselves or really absorbing the word of God, then when we have these cultural issues that sound like they could be right, even coming from other believers, we will not be able to distinguish right from wrong. This is why it's important that the word of God is central in our lives as believers, because the word of God, the Bible says that at the entrance of your word, you bring forth light. There's illumination that takes place because of the word of God. There's something that happens because of ingesting and reading and studying the word of God, that when you hear something that's off, it don't get by you. Like something happens. It's like, oh, wait, that didn't sound right. That didn't sound like my God. That didn't sound like that meshes with the word of God. You only have that if you are studying the word. You only have that if the word is in you. The word is supposed to be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Think about that. A lamp and a light. One was used for higher up to see what was in front. One was used for lower down. You know, you will hold these two things, a lamp and a light, and it will illuminate your path. You're talking about a time when there was no electricity, where the street lights were not present. It wasn't that. But a lamp, right? A torch, a light. And this would be the way that you can see what's in front of you. A lot of the things we don't see as believers is because we are not holding the light of the Word of God, the lamp of the Word of God in front of us. The Bible says that the Word serves. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we don't have that lamp and that light, we can't see what's in front of us. And so there's a lot of lack of discernment on issues of sexuality, on issues, you know, of life, on issues just pertaining to the church and theology and doctrine, because we are not using the light and the lamp of the Word to illuminate our path, to illuminate our minds, to help us to discern right from wrong.
Are you thinking right now about summer camp for your 8th to 12th grade students? Well, we want to invite you to allow your kids to join us and our entire family for a week of summer camp in North Carolina. That's right. This is the third year that we will be at the North Carolina Refuge. Yes. We are super excited about a week of culture proofing, July 21st through the 26th. We are going to discuss biblical worldview. We're going to train your kids in biblical worldview, and we are not holding back. We are going to defend the truth of Scripture. We are going to look to the Word of God for how we engage the culture. Yes. Our aim is to ready kids to be able to live in this world while not having this world live in them. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. We will be there with all of our children and even a few mayflies.
Maybe just a few.
Just a few.
But you know what? Great times of worship, great times of fellowship. It's just going to be a great time. So sign your kid up today.
ncrefuge.org, ncrefuge.org. If you've got questions, you can email us mail@cultureproof.net. That's mail@cultureproof.net.
So we're going to talk a little bit about identity. And I was reading over some scripture today in Colossians chapter 2. And I just want to make a few points in my reading here from the book of Colossians. And mainly it was focused on chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now, and I'm just going to read here, and I just want to make a couple comments and then move on. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." So he's talking to people that have accepted and received Christ, but they have also been discipled. Because he says in verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. And overflowing with gratitude. And in verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." So he right here again, by staying close to the scriptures, you will not be taken captive through philosophy and empty deception. If we become students of the word, that is much, much harder to do. Like it won't be easy to get over on us with the things and the intelligence of the day, if it's apart from the word of God. And so what happens, people can tell you something that sounds good, sounds right, but it's not biblical at all. And because it sounds that way and we're not well versed in what the Bible is saying, we fall prey to those things. We become captive to these philosophies and these empty deceptions. Verse 11. "And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." You got to listen to the language here. in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So right here we have verbiage of circumcision being cut off. So this is what happens when one is made alive in Christ. There is a severing of that old man, that old nature, that old sin nature, that part that is laid aside, a circumcision, with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh. So there's a distinction now. I'm not that anymore. I'm this. And then he goes on to say, having been buried with him in baptism, buried with him, that old man is dead and buried, done away with. Then it says, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. A new life. Transformation takes place. There's a marked difference within the old man and what is living now, the new man. Okay? It says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that was before Christ, we were dead in our transgressions and the uncircumcision of our flesh. That was our old identity. Then it says, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us our transgressions. A new person. Once we were this, but now we're this. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, all the things that stood opposed to us, the decrees against us, the accuser, all that has been canceled, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way. This is what was done for us in regeneration and being made a new creature, a new creation, now one with Christ. All these things were done for us. So he's taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Nailed it to the cross. Those things are crucified. That old man, as we enter into Christ, as we are now made new, that old man, the transgressions, the way that we used to live, the things associated with that life have been nailed to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Amen and amen. What was done for us wasn't a small thing. What was done for us is a true change, a true change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. There's a marked difference. There's a new identity. And the things that are marked by that old identity, they're done away with. We don't claim that anymore. That's not us. Am I saying there's no temptation? No, I'm not saying that. We will be tempted. But we don't carry that as an identity. I'm just a lying sinner. I'm a lying Christian. I'm just a lying Christian. I'm just a adulterous Christian. I am a pornography watching Christian. That's who I am. No, that has been put to death. There may be struggle. There may be temptation. But there's no association as far as identity with that old man. No more identity with that old man. I want to drop down also. Well, I'm just going to continue to read. Verse 16, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize of delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Now look at this. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use? So that's this whole idea, and I'm going to speak concerning gay Christianity, that whole thing, that the object is you can be gay, as identified as homosexual, and a Christian at the same time, as long as you're not doing anything, any sinful acts, as long as you're not doing gay, you can be gay. Now, as I read this, it's the same type of mindset that the Apostle Paul is talking about, how there was an emphasis on do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Okay, the external, as long as you don't do those things, man, you're okay. But let me read further. Let's read that whole passage, verse 22, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. Verse 23, these were matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement, and a severe treatment of the body. So these things were seen as being, you know, pious, you know, self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, doing these external things. You know, as long as you don't do these things, having these external, you know, manifestations were seen as being like, yes, you can do that. But the Apostle Paul says, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. See, it's not only the activity that is of importance, but it's the heart. He said, doing all these things and preventing yourself from doing this and don't do this, don't touch, don't. It has a semblance of wisdom. It has a look of, you know, being wise, an appearance of wisdom. But these things are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So he's saying that there's something else that's the root cause of these actions, and that's the self-indulgence. That's the heart. So it's not good enough to say, you know, you can be same-sex attracted and, you know, this can be your identity as long as you don't do anything about it. No, that has to be dealt with. But also the inward man, the internal thing that's going on, the root of all of the, you know, manifestations, that has to be dealt with as well. It's not just the outside, it's the inside. And the things, you know, that you're doing to say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not tasting this, not touching this, whatever, they appear to be wise, okay? But they can do nothing, or they of little value to deal with that self-indulgence, that fleshly indulgence. This is what he's saying. So it's impossible for the believer to endorse or to say that I am a gay Christian. Our identity is in Christ, and we submit these desires as well to him, the whole man. Not only the external, I don't do this, but I claim this identity, but also it's evil practices. Let's read Colossians chapter 3. And this goes on to talk about it. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and remember, we're talking about identity. We have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is what? Hidden with Christ in God. We have died, and our life now is hidden. Oh, man. hidden in Christ. That's an amazing thing. Our lives are now hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory, because our life is hidden in him. So as he's revealed. We're hidden in Christ. That's our identity. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Dead to those things. Same sex attraction is immorality. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked. This was once your identity. This was once who you were. You once walked in these ways when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. We're talking about a total separation. We've put those things aside. They're done away with. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So the old self of being a liar has been laid aside, as well as the evil practices. So both of them have to go. So I can't keep the identity of being a liar. Well, I'm a liar, but as long as I don't lie. But I'm a liar. That's dumb when you hear it. Who would say that? So how can you say I'm a homosexual? Well, I'm a Christian. As long as I don't do homosexual acts, well, I'm a homosexual. I'm a homosexual Christian. No, it does not work. Both of those things have to be done away with. The lying as a feature of being a liar. So the identity and the evil practices. I'll go ahead and read that again. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self, who was a liar, with its evil practices of lying, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's where we are. The new self. The new self. We don't indulge in the things of the old self. That's done away with. We put that aside. We are living in the new self that's being renewed, that's being brought to a higher level, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So we are now being renewed in this new self. And it says in verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, these are the new selves, you know, the ones that have been redeemed in Christ, holy and beloved. Now we put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. All right. We can see, and it's clear from the scriptures there, that man, being a new creation, putting off and laying aside the old self, there is no taking on any of that identity any longer. It's done. And now we're being renewed. And the peaceable qualities are being enacted. The things that are of God are being enacted. Those things that are being activated in our lives. There's a difference. We're talking about identity. So now I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is a scripture that has been taught a lot in the realm of identity and, you know, and man, reading the word of God, we see that there is a clear distinction in the old man and the new man. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I just want to look at verse 9. And it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And here it is. Such were some of you. You were identified as such as one at one time. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So there's a change that has taken place. There's a new identity. Such were some of you. You were this. You were, you know, fornicators, idolaters. This was an identity that you held. Adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves. You were covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. And those things and those identities cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Those things that you once were, those are the things that have been laid aside with its evil practices. So those identities have been laid aside with their evil practices. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. That's the new man. That's newness. You once were something that is opposed to God. Now you are a new man who is in the family of God, and those old lifestyles and natures have been laid aside, and now you are a new creation. That's who we are. That's who we are. We are identified as being in Christ. And I have mentioned this scripture before, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. That's our identity. As believers, that's our identity. Our identity in Christ as believers. Man, why would we want to hold on to that old wretched nature, that old fleshly nature, that man, that old man, he's done away with. We laid him to the side. We laid him to the side. I love Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is who we are. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things in the heavens, and things on the earth. In him, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Man, this is all identity language. This is who we are. This is who we are. This is who we lean into now. Man, this is who we are as believers. This is what we should gravitate towards. Not the old man, not keeping and coddling the old nature, which is supposed to be laid aside with its evil practices. But now we are in Christ. Now we are in Christ. This is the identity that we all have submitted to. This is the identity that we have now in Christ. And praise God for it, that old man we lay aside with his evil practices, and now we are put on the new man that has been redeemed, that has been justified, that has been cleaned and washed, the new man that we are living proof that Christ is alive. I just want us to be encouraged today not to hold on to that old man, that old nature, but to know what happened in the reality of your salvation. That the circumcision of the heart has taken place, the cutting off of that old nature, that the burial has taken place, being buried with those transgressions and all those things that stood opposed to God, and being raised up in him, now identifying with Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. We can rest assured that our identity is fixed in him. And so when you hear these things about being a gay Christian or whatever it may be, type of Christian, that's a part of the old nature, you can say, no, that's not possible. That's not possible, because we are to lay that aside with its evil desires as well. Remember, when we resist the cultural trends that rival the truth, we will remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.